as I always say, come at the time, come at the moment, at exactly 7:20, right here on your best mix of music, 9.4, Capital FM. Good evening, how you doing? It's Charles Key, Aria. Yeah, we're back. Feels good to be back after a hiatus of sorts. And of course, last week on Thursday, of course, we didn't do the show because of various issues, including the Easter holidays. And I spoke to Wakili Mutua, and very understanding, because even him, he told me he has to go to Kafunzweni. But he's here with me once again. Welcome to Wakili.
Asante sana.
Good to see you, my brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, people have missed you so much. They were asking me, wow, no. That show has to go on. But look, it's Easter. And then we have the WRC Safari Rally coming up. Schools are closing. There's so much happening that crazy weekend. Nonetheless, how are you, sir?
I'm easy. How are you? How's it going?
The going is so far so good. And what a time that I had, by the way.
This week,
yeah. How about you? Why you asking me about? Tell us about you, Akili. What are you hiding?
No, I never did something crazy like you.
No.
I saw you had the time of your life with the boys.
Oh yeah, we did.
That's what
we did. It was 24 hours of pure intense work and fun at the same time. And the best part about it is that the client was very happy about it. To wakilisha what we had to do, but nonetheless,
and that's the spirit of WRC,
right?
Absolutely. That's how it's supposed to be.
Exactly.
Exporting. I hope you exported a bit of our culture to the guys who the fans who came from Uganda, the guys who came from South Africa, the guys who came from France, and all those other countries.
Yes, absolutely. All right, good stuff. And of course, every Thursday we always have a guest to join us, and I'd like him to introduce himself and tell us who he is. Personally, Mimi Namjua, thank you.
You know so many lawyers now.
Yeah, now I know so many lawyers. Sa butu ugozi nisumbua ta wewe. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Kiaria.
Mm-hmm. Come closer to the microphone.
My name is Sisule Musungu.
You're welcome, sir.
Ni wakili pia, kama mtua. I am from the firm of Sisule and Associates.
Mm-hmm.
We commercial law, intellectual property law, international law. Those are the type of things I do. Other than the other things that I do, where you know me from, horse racing. And other things like that.
Yes, absolutely. And I think there's a race coming up this weekend.
This Sunday, yes, there's a race coming up.
I hope you will you will ask me to come over. It was so much fun last time. Look at Mutua looking at me.
No, you guys, you just want me to cut me out of the horse racing. Just like that.
Welcome, Sisule. It was great fun. I mean, when I met you for the first time, it was such great, an amazing afternoon and evening before Mutua decided Ateishia Kidogo, which is okay.
It's only for another day.
It's only for another day. Anyway, welcome, gentlemen. And I know there's a topic. And Mutua sent me this and I was like, wow, okay. I remember, if I'm not wrong, this is a conversation that we had. Was it last year or is it early
this year.
Early this year,
yes.
And we said we have to revisit this conversation. And I hand over you the authority to move forward about this story. However, if you've just tuned in, we're talking about something that we touched on, and it caused a lot of controversy, even here in the office. And the story was about European Union deforestation regulations, which in one way or another is going to affect the whole world, specifically certain countries.
Yes.
Yes. Over to you. And Sisule, I give you permission also to tell Wakili, wait, what is it, man? You're the guys of with the knowledge. Okay, what is this story about and how is it connected to, climate change, or what is it about, this European Union deforestation regulations?
So basically what happened is that Europe has been at the forefront of influencing policy in many fronts, and one of them has been the area of climate change. So because of a lot of what we import to European Union, and what also comes from the European Union, they found that one of the ways to curtail climate change is to come up with certain regulations about deforestation. Which I'll just do the introduction bit and then Sisule is going to take over from
there. Okay.
So they came up with a piece of legislation called European Union Deforestation Regulation.
Mm-hmm.
So what it means is that there are seven products they are going to start with. which is cocoa, cattle, coffee, palm oil, rubber, soy, and wood. And anything that is derived from there. You get me?
Yes, I get you. Yeah.
So when you're talking about cattle, you also mean
the byproducts.
The byproducts that are going to come from there. So it means they have to look at the value chain that comes from any of those seven products. Mm-hmm. And the regulations was passed and they were passed and they started taking effect. Mm-hmm. So they said, look, from...
Already passed.
Yeah, they already passed.
Oh, okay, because I read somewhere about 2030 or something.
No.
About 2024, end of this year.
No. They passed,
yes.
But it's the time they're going to come into effect.
Okay, right.
So they said 2023, June, that's when they were passed.
Uh-huh.
Then in 2024, December of this year,
yes,
they said
correct.
All big corporations, and big, they said, with more than 250 employees, that is a big corporation, by 2024, December, which is the December of this year,
yes,
they have to be fully compliant. Then by June 2025, now small and medium enterprises will have to be fully compliant. Mm-hmm. But what do we mean by fully compliant? I think this is a point where Sisule takes over.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. So fully compliant essentially means, in the context, the regulations are supposed to prevent people from cutting trees. Deforestation for them to now plant coffee, graze cattle, or things like that, cocoa, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So fully compliant would mean that if your product came from a place which has been deforested from starting from December 2020, you will not be able to export to Europe.
Mm.
So probably there are not very many big corporations here, but now you can think from next year, June, smallholder farmers, coffee. And compliance will be enforced by traceability. So you have to prove that where that product came from and the byproducts, there was no deforestation to arrive at it. Compliance means the whole value chain is being checked whether this product came from a forest, deforested area or not. And you can imagine there are aggregators also.
Okay.
So one person, let's say to a coffee circle, they are compliant. Another one is not. They mix. That will not be compliant. So that is how you start seeing complexity. Cost.
Because how are they going to enforce all that? And okay, the question that begs, because somebody's asking here, why does it have to come from Europe? Why can't we also enact our own laws to counter these measures? Why are they doing that to us? Sisule.
Yeah. We can enact our own law.
Correct.
But the question is export.
Oh.
Because you're exporting to the European Union, and that is what is called the Brussels effect.
Mm-hmm.
Big markets can enact law that makes you change. So because you're exporting coffee or timber to Europe, that is the power they hold over you. We can enact ours, but our effect is less because the European Union is a big market. And that is why that is happening. Of course, it's going to affect us.
Yes.
Because for us to ensure we are continuing to export, it will have an effect. We will change our policies and laws to make sure that we are compliant.
We have compliance to them.
To their law because
their
we
law.
Need their market. That's the reason. That
that smacks a bit of blackmail.
Charlie, let me make it more interesting.
Please, because that's unfair, Sisule. I mean, do you agree with it, Sisule, yourself, Wakil?
No, I don't.
Thank you.
Of course, we would like to make our own laws and policies, but this is how trade works in most cases.
Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
Okay. We'll come back to that one. Yeah. Yes.
Let me
yes,
make it more interesting now, Charlie.
Yeah.
So they're saying, again, by the year 2026, they're going to sit down, the European Union Commission, and reevaluate and see, not only, you see, we're dealing with seven products.
Yeah.
Now they want to see, can we sit down and include more products?
Okay, let me do a quick review of what I saw, what Mr. Akili, about companies recording trading in cattle, we're looking at cocoa,
yes,
coffee,
yes,
palm oil, rubber.
Yes.
Rubber. Yes, rubber.
Yeah.
I saw soya and I wondered, wait a minute. Yeah. Okay, palm oil, I thought about Singapore, the biggest importer in the world.
Yeah.
But this, I'm just looking, this is Africa being targeted. Is this very specific? Is it you guys in Africa being targeted? I'm just throwing it out there. I'm asking. you're the guys who have the knowledge. But I just wondered, hey, what is this? Where is it coming from then? Why are they targeting what we have? Is it they don't have that through that?
But also, I see the angle that you're taking.
So why are you giving me regulations for something that belongs to me from your end?
But also, things that you're importing from them also going to face the same scrutiny as well.
We'll get to that.
So it's both, like it's both export and import. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you see, for them, because they're the guys with the money, right? They're the multinational companies.
That one has to come in so you have to follow what I have to do.
So okay, for them, they're able to do some of these things. Traceability will not be an issue. Geolocating a small farm in Europe, that it will not be an issue to them.
Okay.
But for me, who grows like Mato, who has a forest in Moranga, where he's trying to cut down trees so that he can do a bit of farming, that will be very problematic for him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And you see, the worst part is it has a ripple effect towards our economy, because it means the small-scale farmer, the small guy in Kathiani who's growing coffee, it's going to affect him. Either you find a way of complying or ship out. And you can imagine this has been your livelihood. This has been your family's livelihood. Your great-grandfather used to grow coffee.
Correct.
But now you're being told, if that coffee is being grown in an area where now
it was deforested.
After December 2020, no, you can't export to EU market.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm trying to put a... okay, keep going. Yeah.
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 So that's where we are.
Because if you look at the countries that are, I mean, deforestation, the largest countries that are doing all these are places like Brazil. How can you track something that comes from Brazil?
Actually, Brazil, yes, there's huge deforestation.
It's massive. It's the biggest in the world now. It's a big
way to speak. But in Brazil, actually, Brazil is benefiting right now. It will benefit because they are large-scale farmers who can implement traceability, geolocation of farms and all that. So actually what is happening is that Kenya, Ethiopia, Uganda, the coffee growers here, where you have small holder farmers where we cannot do these things, will lose the market to the Brazilian farmers, who are huge players and who can, their whole value chain, they can show that it didn't come from a place like that. The deforestation in Brazil is mainly for minerals and other things, the current one.
Yeah.
But where they plant coffee, that is not an issue for them, and they can show traceability, geolocation, and all the technical things you need to do to prove.
How do they do that? How can they show?
Because this
world has got some crazy people. They can do shortcuts.
Because it's technology. So if you say I am from Muranga, the coffee is from Muranga, this location, with satellite and all that, they can actually geolocate and work backwards. That is possible. That's part of what is done for carbon trading. They can work backwards many years to see how that area behaved. Was there a forest? When did it degrade? When did it disappear? So that all that can be done with technology.
Yeah, and you see,
yes,
Charlie.
Yeah,
let's be very honest. Let's be honest in this conversation.
No, I'm very angry with this conversation,
right? Yeah, and I think every Kenyan who's listening to us needs
Should
to be angry.
Yeah, yeah,
because as this is happening, the government has done nothing. But we'll get there.
About that,
we'll
yes,
get there.
Yeah.
So the point I was trying to make is, if you want to get into agriculture, now, at some point, you'll have to clear. If it's virgin land, you have to clear it. Right? You have to go and clear. If there are bushes there, you have to cut them down so that you can start your farm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, it's everywhere. But now this regulation is telling you, boss, that's what you're doing. Yes. Then just be satisfied with the local market. You will not be able to export anything to the European Union. So your coffee will be ineligible for export. Now imagine the coffee farmer in Mukurweini, the coffee farmer in Kiambu, the coffee farmer in Nyeri.
Yeah.
These are the conversations that need to be had. And no one is having them. The only people who are having them is Sisule, Kiarie, and Mutua at Capital FM.
Right now. Yeah, but this is my land. It's my choice that I want to grow this maize. Yeah? And I have to do all everything that I need to do according to the laws of that county. And I follow everything, yeah? And then I plant my seed. Then you come and tell me I cannot export. And from the European Union, who are you?
Actually, it's interesting you mentioned maize.
Yes.
Tua mentioned that in 2026 there will be a review. One of the other things currently in the list for Kenya, the main thing is coffee. But in 2026, when they review, one of the things that is very clear, another target is maize.
Okay. You see, I don't know where to start.
So it means
these regulations are being made in Europe to come and affect Sisule's Shamba and Mutua's in Kathunzweni. And the government is sitting back and saying, you the guys who have the money, so we'll probably have to comply. How? I mean, do we have people who can fight for us when it comes to things like this?
The government of Ethiopia, the government of Brazil, they've taken certain initiatives. The government of Indonesia, Singapore, and India, they've done a lot of pushback.
Okay.
Actually, let me make it even more interesting for the listener.
Mm-hmm.
Just up, so many cooperative societies in Ethiopia are lobbying the government. You know what they're saying? You see the list of 7 products that you guys have listed. Let us break down coffee into 2. Arabica. Robusta.
Yes.
Ask us a lobbying for our coffee. Because Ethiopia predominantly grows a certain type of coffee.
Yeah.
And then they're saying, look, this coffee, you guys can break it down, this coffee thing. Then ours will take a bit of time to implement. Mm-hmm. However, from here, we've not heard such voices. I know the government of Rwanda as well is pushing hard. It's lobbying. Brazil has lobbied heavily. Those countries around the Indian subcontinent have lobbied heavily. But from here, clearly it's only us guys who are having this conversation.
Oh, okay. The other question I'm asking is, when did this rain start beating us, Sisule? because Mutua serialized it, actually. I think it was a month and a half ago. Oh, 2 months ago. Actually, he serialized it in the Nation newspaper. And I read it. I was like, wow, this is interesting. But we were doing something. I think we had visitors. And he said, we shall revisit this one. Yeah. Because I found it very, it was very controversial. It was a hard read. Let me put it that way. Mm. But who sits down somewhere and decides, you know what, this is what's going to happen? I mean, who does that? Especially when we look at colonization. I mean, what happened back in the day and all that. And I had a sense when I read that article in The Nation, courtesy of Wakili Mutua, and I felt like it's like we're being colonized again here, but indirectly, and especially where it hurts most, that's your pocket and that's your stomach. And that is posterity, because you have to give this to your children, your children's children. As Mutua said, this shamba you were given by your great-great-grandfather who then passed it down. Then somebody walks in and says, oh, by the way, you see those ngombes you have, those 3,000, now you can't have them. You only have to have 3. Who are you? You know, that's what I felt. By the way, I was like, what's this?
I understand.
Yes.
Before, the EU had a directive on timber only. It was only timber. Now, when they revised, it was only timber because that was easy. It's direct, you are cutting forest and timber comes out of it. But now they have expanded to these seven crops and seven items, and it might go more. So the process started in 2020. There was a process just like here, there's public participation. But for Europeans, not for you and me.
not for you and me.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was a process that led to the draft, and then they went through. In the EU, the two organs have to agree, the Council and the Parliament.
In the EU. Yeah.
Yes.
Not Kenyan Parliament. Not the Ethiopians.
Yeah.
Not the Zambians.
Yeah.
But they decide that this is what you have to do. Yeah.
This is what you have to do.
Yeah.
So there was a process from 2020 to 2023. Then that's when it was passed. But that's not to say that there's nothing we can do.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I want to hear that.
Why do we have ambassadors and high commissioners out there? They are supposed to be watching those things. And if it's going to affect us, they have channels to lobby and to argue about impacts. So it's not like we should be in the dark completely.
Correct.
That's
Correct.
Why we have representations yes. there to protect our interests. So to protect our export market, if a regulation is being passed that is going to affect our export market, mm-hmm. that is an interest of Kenya that the ambassador in Brussels mm-hmm. should be dealing with.
Correct.
But the rain is beating us.
Yes.
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that is how the process goes. So the point being that for big markets, Europe, US, and those types of market, they have an effect on you locally without you participating.
Okay.
Exactly. But as I've said, it doesn't mean we are completely out there. As
okay.
Mutua is saying, other governments have worked before the regulation,
yeah.
argued, even after it's passed, they're arguing about implementation timelines and all that. So that is what should be happening with us as well, as Kenya.
Okay, yeah.
And let me tell you something.
Yes,
a very interesting thing that I saw. Once the conversation started happening, mm-hmm. one of the things that became expensive is chocolate.
Okay. Okay.
Why? Because it's a derivative of cocoa.
Cocoa. West Africa.
West Africa. So the big players, the big multinationals who are working around that country,
mm-hmm.
because they're the only people who can show traceability. So the commodity became a rare find.
Mm-hmm.
So it means at that point the prices of chocolate shot up. So what this means is the big multinationals in Kenya, in those various circles, will also become big key players. They will want to lock out small scale farmers because they want to dominate the market.
They'll probably swallow you.
Yes. So they'll want to have a bigger cake.
Oh my goodness.
So this means the local farmer who's supposed to benefit out of this thing is going to be kicked out by the big boys. So you're looking at two people that you're going to fight. One, the European Union as an element. Second thing, the big multinational companies who control a huge stake of this market. So those are the things that are going to affect us badly. And I thought the government was a government for the people.
For the hustlers.
but now
I was
avoiding using that. But clearly, that's not happening.
That is what's happening at the moment.
Oh.
The regulation is passed, it's law. The argument right now actually is just about timelines, more or less. Because it's already been passed. There will be a review in 5 years.
It's when now?
But it's unlikely that they'll remove any product. They will actually be increasing. And the regulations might tighten after 5 years, after they review, if they still believe that these products or whatever they add on are causing deforestation, they probably tighten. the regulations.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Reminiscent of a book I read some time back by Henry Kissinger. It talks about the New World Order. And that's where we're heading into. sorry, I'm just saying it. Yeah. But I mean, if now we were talking about things like cocoa and palm oil, and now you want to extend it in the next 2 years to maize, why? Why would you want to do that? Then the next thing you'll be telling me, that nyanya you have in your farm, that one also has to be regulated.
And not only maize.
Yeah.
It's not only maize. It's maize and biofuel.
Yes.
And also include the definition of forest to include things like woodlands. You expand the definition of just not trees to woodlands. So the more it's like what? The noose keeps on tightening at every movement. You see when a python is wrapped around you, the more you breathe, the more the muscles keep on tightening. Yeah, that's where we are headed.
Oh, wow. Gentlemen, I don't believe William Shakespeare and King Lear says nothing comes from nothing. I mean, there has to be something somewhere. Yeah. What do you think, Sisule? Ili toka api? Who sat down and decided, you know what, we need to do something here? And why?
It's all connected to climate change, the activism around
climate change.
That is where it's coming from. Yeah. Primarily the activism around climate change and what the solutions are on that score. So the argument being that forests are the carbon sinks, and if we cut them, we are releasing more carbon dioxide.
Yes.
And so you say, okay, we are working on fossil fuels, but what else can we do? So you go for deforestation. Yeah.
Okay.
That's where it's coming from. Those are the people who sat down.
And Charlie, yes, let me make it even more interesting.
Yeah.
Kenya has been on a crusade for climate change, mm-hmm, right? The president has been out there talking about everything about climate change. And that conversation has been had. Kenya has been put on the road, being the biggest crusade against climate change. To make it even more interesting, we have the UNEP headquarters in Nairobi.
In Nairobi, yeah.
But no one is talking about the small farmers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guys are going to be heavily affected by some of these things. And also the people who have been affected greatly by climate change are small-scale farmers.
Yeah.
No one is laying their voice in Kenya. No one is talking about those coffee cooperatives. I'm sure when you walk out to, even when you go to downtown Nairobi, KPCU, that building, you ask a farmer if they have an idea of that. Even mid-level managers at KPCU, they have no idea this is going to happen.
I like what you're saying. In fact, when we come back, because we need to take a short break to the news, what is climate change? And then we catapult it, or rather how we say it in capital, we segue the music, we segue again into what we were talking about this deforestation issue and how it's going to affect that guy at KPCU. Because they're listening right now. We need you, Wakilis, to explain to the listener right now. All right. So we take a short break right now. Remember, this happens every Thursday with Wakili Mutua. And of course, we have a wonderful guest also who's here telling us, we're bringing this flavor into this conversation. Listen, talk to us 0701-984-984, hashtag Legal Insider, hashtag Quick One Wakili. Let's go to the news. Yeah, 5 minutes to past 7 o'clock, right? Your best mix of music, 9.4 Capital FM. It's the Legal Insider, and we do this every Thursday. So get in your questions, 0701-984-94, hashtag Legal Insider, hashtag Quick One Wakili. Just tuned in, we're talking about the European Union deforestation regulations, which, by the way, Wakili Sisule and Wakili, my boss tells me they're having these discussions at where he goes to university or college, at no, I won't say it, but they're having these discussions. And of course, we've been talking about deforestation and the European Union coming to impose, I'll use the word impose, sorry guys, impose all these regulations on us about farming. You can trace my product from wherever it is, to, and they'll tell me, no, you can't be part of this process and all that, which, by the way, I don't like it. But the one thing that I want to ask, and I'll go to you, Wakili Sisule, is about climate change, because this conversation has to do with climate change. So what is this thing about climate change that everybody has become so big of late? I don't know whether it was as big as that in the 1980s or the 1990s, but 2000, something started happening. But more so much, just before the corona period, and then now it sort of blew up out of proportions. What is this thing about climate change that has become so big to a point now it should be, it's not even an elephant in the room, this is the whale in the room. It's massive, man.
Yeah, it is. So the discussion around climate change started a bit way back, in the 80s, yes. The 90s a bit more.
Okay.
The 2000 more and more. Mm-hmm. And now it's at fever pitch because yes. The idea is that the earth is warming. It's affecting seasons, temperatures, coldness, and all that. Of course, when you say the earth is warming and winter is colder,
yes,
some people that, will today. Say that is an oxymoron.
Well, sort of, yeah.
But the idea is that we need to prevent, according to science as it stands, that if the temperature rise beyond 2 degrees from a certain point, then we are going to have many problems in terms of the climate, how the climate behaves, whether it rains, when the rains happen, whether it's storms, whether it's winter, and all that. Mm-hmm. So the reason it's getting louder and louder is partly because there's a lot of activism also around it.
Right.
So there's a big push by different players that we must stop carbon dioxide emissions,
yes.
or reduce them.
Yes.
And different ways are being thought of. Mm. Stop using fossil fuels because they produce carbon dioxide. Mm. We need forests in the conversation we are having because forests absorb carbon.
Yes.
So we need more forests, or stop deforestation, and different ideas. So that's why it's becoming louder and louder.
Mm-hmm.
As we reach kind of fever pitch, we are near the tipping point, as the scientists say. That's essentially what it's about.
Yes, because I remember someone, is it John? What do you say? Actually, we have what, 7 years? 7 to 11 years to turn things around. Otherwise, that's it. Yeah.
That is why there's this focus on targets in different industries by 2030. This and this must happen.
Okay.
But of course, the impacts, there's, Mutu, I think, mentioned earlier, the impact for different people is, like, in developing countries, it double impact.
And yet our carbon emissions are very low.
Are very low.
Yes.
But you are being told, you are suffering the most.
Because of me.
Like island nations,
yes.
They are sinking and,
correct,
and things like that are happening. But you are also being told, at the same time, you are suffering most, you have contributed the least, but you must change your behavior.
I want to kill you. I feel like it's problems of being in school. Wow. Say that again, Achilles. Say that again. You're suffering, but change your behavior.
The impact of climate change is hardest on developing countries, smaller countries.
Yes.
But their contribution to carbon emissions is very little. But irrespective of that, they are being told you must also change your behavior. So, like, stop cutting trees to rear cattle or plant maize or do whatever it is. Stop.
Yes.
But that is also why there's this argument about compensation, funds being created so that if people are losing livelihoods because of what you require them to do to change behavior, where do they go? What do they do?
Good question.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then they're also telling you, do this. We used fossil fuels to create our industries to develop. And you guys are developing. No. Now don't take that route. Take a different route. And the different route that you're going to take is the technologies are going to come from us, so you're going to sell them to you. So the long and the short of that, what I'm trying to say is, climate change is it's both a scientific and a political argument.
Let's go on that tangent now.
Science, because there's the science aspect that you cannot deny, and the politics side, where depending on where you sit, if you sit on the right, there's a way you see things. If you sit on the left, there's a way you see things. I will end it at that. Yeah. But I want us to go back to our EUDR.
No. Let's segue that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
The least carbon emissions are from this part of the world.
Yes.
The very least. In spite of the fact that I mentioned Tanzania and Zambia cutting down trees. I mean, they're amongst the big boys, you know, India, Indonesia, and Brazil. Yeah, okay, fine. I'm cutting down my tree because I did that charcoal. You know, my economy-wise, things are not really that good. And then you come and tell me to change my ways. Okay, then compensate me because I've been suffering this climate change thing because of your mistake.
So, Charlie, this is...
I'm just looking at it that way.
Yeah.
Am I wrong? Yes, that's what
you're being told.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm looking at this thing. Let me just stir the waters a bit.
Please, stir everything, please. That's what I want.
So what we haven't talked also is the aspect of fines. So Europe is going to create an authority if already it has not created. Whereby, if you've exported, for example, if you're a small coffee holder in Kenya, you've exported something to the EU, and it fails a test. What that means is, one, you're going to be fined 4% of your total revenue in Europe. So it means if you fine a small company that exports from Moranga in Europe in euros, you've literally bankrupted it. So that's the direct effect on such economies.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Second, I will, of course, link this to my data protection practice. When you tell a firm to have geolocation, it means there's something we call sensitive data. And property details is sensitive data, right? You've processed sensitive data. You've exported sensitive data, most likely without a data protection impact assessment. So it means in that value chain, someone might also be fined ridiculous amounts of money, not by EUDR, but by entities that deal with data protection as well.
Mm-hmm.
You see the conundrum. But then again, for legal practitioners like us, it means also having a person who can enforce those, can look at the law and see the points of exposure. It means in terms of career, and of course I know there are young lawyers as well listening to the show, it means those are avenues of practicing law as well. Yeah, those are the waters that I wanted to stir. I've confused you more.
No, well, yeah, I'm processing all that stuff because here I am. I'm exporting my stuff. I mean, I don't do it in isolation. I have to go through an organization. So, Wakili Sisule and I and Governor Mutua, we decide to do this through this organization. So they trace us back and say, we're going to fine you. So are they going to fine the organization, or all of us are going to be fined through the organization? Or how does it happen? How does it go? Wakili Sisule.
So if they are going for the revenue you've extracted from the EU, even if it's the organization being fined in terms of entity, it means that you, the three of us here, will lose 4% irrespective of
collectively or individually?
Individually, each one will lose 4%. Because the 4% has been taken from the total. Meaning what is available is less 4%.
Oh, exactly.
By the way, it's not just fines. They could actually confiscate the whole consignment, which means it's not even a fine anymore, it's zero. So if a coffee consignment is coming in and they can't prove these things, or they find that you are not compliant, they those 2-5 containers are taken.
Somebody is asking me here, ask Wakili Sisule, flowers. Flowers, especially in this part of the world, are exported to Europe in huge numbers. In fact, somebody was pointing out and saying, when you look at all these places where they have flowers, you know, they have all this royalty, and they tell you, and some of them can actually tell you, they can trace and say, see that section looks like it came from a certain part of East Africa.
Yes.
They can do that.
Yeah.
That is crazy stuff.
Flowers are not yet there.
But that's coming.
But it could come.
It just depends
on who is arguing for what to be included, because it will go through the same process. There are people who are saying the reason they put that provision for review in 2 years to probably add more is because there were people who are saying, no, this is not enough. There has to be many more things that you should be targeting to reduce deforestation. So it could come to flowers. That's the point, that process continues. And there are people who are lobbying for this to be included, that to be included. There are people who are lobbying for this to be excluded. In that process, if someone targets flowers, it will, and there's no enough opposition, it will be included.
Yeah.
Okay.
And now this is a point where we need to have honest and naked conversation.
The gloves are off now.
The gloves are off. And I know there's an argument that a few countries have lobbied, and they're saying that the compliance date might be pushed further.
Okay.
That's the biggest rumor that is going around. And I know that is what, if you ask some people, some quarters in the government, they'll tell you they'll push the date back. But whether they push the date back, there are two things that will not happen. One, remember, we said December 2020.
Deforestation from December 2020.
So not unless someone argues and reviews that date, that still remains. Now, the second thing is at some point they will be implemented, whether we like it or not. So the question is, as a county government, as a national government, what are we doing? What are you telling that local farmer? Do they know that? And I think if possible, Capital needs to make this thing in Swahili and broadcast it to Moranga and tell those farmers, look, this is what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So those are the naked conversations that we need to have as a people, as a society, as a government. That needs to come out. This thing should not be coming from me and Sisule and you and a few other. Yes, we are enlightened. We know some of these things as they happen.
Yeah.
But those people have attaches at the foreign ministries. Yeah. They know everything that is happening. And that needs to trickle down to the kawaida hustler.
Mm-hmm.
That needs to happen. That hard conversation needs to be had. Whether there's a political side of it, which takes a different tangent or not, that conversation needs to happen.
Okay.
Yes.
I quite agree. Because somebody else here is asking, why is it has to be the African continent? Why not North America? Why not the Arab countries?
Okay. It's for everyone.
It's for everyone.
It's for everyone. But as I said before, in North America, in Brazil and countries like those, Singapore or Malaysia, those are big scale farmers.
Yes,
they can implement these things.
Yeah.
And as Mutua said, as the market is changing, they are making more money. It becomes more expensive.
So it's also
so
like
the impact is the same thing.
Uh-huh.
The impact is harder on countries like Kenya, Ethiopia, Uganda, Ghana, the cocoa-growing countries, because of where we sit. Our farmers do not have that capacity or the resources to comply. So it applies across the world. Anything going into the EU will be affected, but it's who can comply? What is the cost of compliance? And that is where the impact now, that's why we are talking here, smallholder farmers. If it's a large-scale farmer, probably they can manage it. But what happens with smallholder farmers here who are planting coffee, it's aggregated and it's exported.
Yeah.
That's really the key question.
Yeah. And remember, we are here talking about, you see, the wearer of the shoe knows where it's pinching, right? So I can see all this ripple effect. I can see this happening to my friends who are sometimes not big scale farmers in terms of when you look at a global farming, but they're farming this. I can see this happening to families. I can see families getting broken because you have to look for a different source of export market.
Yeah.
Where do you start? The earnings become little by day.
It's interesting you say that, and I like that tangent because the way I remember is actually the president pushing and saying we should trade within ourselves as much as possible. You know, yeah. Let's find markets in Tanzania, in Ethiopia, and of late Somalia, the peaceful part, Uganda, Tanzania, DR Congo, Malawi, and whatever, because we're talking about the EU. So should we come together as the East African region? Though we have SADC, we have East Africa, then we have the one in Nigeria to fight these guys off. Is that the way we should go? Because this is the European Union coming together.
I mean, yes, we should.
Because that somebody's asking.
Let me ask you.
Can we fight them as an East African region? Because we come together from the Atlantic to the Indian Ocean. Tunaweza fanya kitu bana.
We've been saying a lot of that for the longest time.
Yes, yeah.
See, that's my biggest issue. We keep saying, "Can we do that? Can we do that?" Successive governments come and we are two steps, one step back, right? So that can be explored, and I hope it does. But then again, you see, this thing has an immediate ripple effect. So as you guys are looking for the market, what is happening to my coffee? You see.
Yeah.
So that's how I'm looking at it. It's an immediate ripple effect to everyone. I'm so sure you know someone who grows coffee.
Wingi sana.
So many people.
Even my family.
Right?
Shags, yeah.
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 Yes. I don't know what Sisulu has, what different take. Yeah. He has a different take.
Yeah. Yes, this Sisulu, is immediate. It's immediate. So, yes, we can fight back. Part of fighting back is using our own Africa Continental Free Trade Area. Expanding what we trade within that space, making it easier to trade, and things are being done, the Africa payment systems and all that. But that will take time to get there. If you lose the market in 2025, will you wait for 2027 to restart? You will be bankrupt. By that time, so.
But Wakili, someone here is saying there's no reason these guys should implement this because a lot of their food, particularly about the European Union, actually comes from Africa.
Yes, it.
So it's not. We should be able to do something. I'm sure.
But you see,
clever minds like you, Wakili Sisulu.
But you see, the challenge is, they have alternatives. For things like coffee. Cocoa probably much less in terms of alternatives.
Okay.
But coffee, they could have alternatives. Their food comes from here, but the similar rules apply, very stringent rules. That's why we don't export as much as we could or should. So that's the way it works.
And remember, also, a lot of that, whatever in the 7 products, is not the things that they need. I mean, they can find alternatives. Mm. Like, for example, if it's beef, they'll go to Australia. You know, they will not. You know, they've looked at it. They've sat down. The policymakers have sat down and looked and said, even if we get affected by this, it won't have. It's not some. Some of them can even live without coffee. Mm-hmm. They can access markets in Brazil. Some of the countries, like they will not struggle with some of these things. So. In as much as you're looking at this, we are clutching on straws.
Have you looked at the population of Europe? It's actually going down heavily.
It is,
yes.
But you see, the other thing to think about is, you see, the climate change argument,
yes,
in Europe, the Mwananchi there accepts it, and therefore if prices go up, and prices have gone up in different contexts.
Yes.
If prices go up because of the deforestation directive or regulation, they are okay. We are paying the price of preventing climate
planet.
Or saving the planet. So
I like what this is truly saying. Yeah, we are paying for this, man.
So actually, just to put context, this
is something that it's happening.
Yes,
it's happening.
Yes.
Whether we like it or not.
Yes.
Actually, just to put context to what Sisule said, when this thing was open for public participation in Europe, let me keep in Europe. When the regulations were put in
it was just the Europeans who actually did that. Were the representatives from Kenya, Uganda, Tanzania, South Africa, Ethiopia, Ghana, Nigeria, anybody? Okay, so
no.
Okay, yeah.
When it came for public participation, 1.2 million EU residents participated. It's the second largest EU survey ever. So what Sisule was saying, that they know they're paying for what? For saving the planet. So any cost for them is good cost. They will take it. They can shelter themselves. And even when they can't, governments there, they're wealthy, they'll find ways
absolutely.
Of plugging in.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the person who's being hit properly, it's my people. It's the Mwananchi. It's not even Mwananchi. It's the small scale farmer. Mm. It's the real hustler. Forget about the fake ones. The real hustler is being touched.
We have 2 minutes, and Wakili Sisule, I know there are people who are sitting here, they're listening, they're asking questions. In the long term, I mean, before things really become crazy, what should we do? What can we do? Because I've got my 2 acres somewhere, right? I've got one side is coffee, the other side is avocado and all that. What should I do right now? Because I don't want to comply with that. So what can we do? No, because the people will say no. Yeah, people
if
say,
you don't want to comply,
yeah.
If that is your market, forget about it. Good for you,
okay.
Or bad for you. but if you want to comply, what you can do now, there's still some time, is to start thinking about what you can do, geolocation, traceability, value chain, those things. And those can be done by the SACCOs, the coffee SACCOs, at that level,
yes.
To help.
Yeah.
Organize the market in a way that we go towards compliance. If more time is given, as Mutua said, don't say more time will be given or is being given. You need to start it now, and it needs to be organized. Government has to get on its feet.
Government, and work
around these things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wakili?
I think the other biggest thing we need to do is the farmers need to hear this gospel. The farmers need to be educated on some of these things. They need to be taught in a very palatable way. This is what is happening. This is how we need to be ready. And then government just needs to, we need to figure out whether it's the SACCOs, whether you're going to get people from outside to come and lobby the government and try and see what we can do from a Kenyan perspective. We also think to start picturing and thinking about how we can involve the East African community block.
Yeah.
And even expand it to, because this thing is hitting West Africa badly.
Yeah, and SADC,
yeah,
and all that.
As the AU is there, can we have a broader conversation?
Yeah.
Can we have a better way of lobbying for some of these things?
Great.
And what also this teaches you is, when some of these conversations are brought at the foot of the table, we need to start lobbying early. We shouldn't, we can't be sitting all the time here. We are reactionary to everything.
Mm.
We need to be sitting down when some of this, when there are even rumors, elements like EU send their representatives, because if it's going to have a ripple effect on your people, then we need people who can lobby for us there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So maybe EU figure out how to go about it. Maybe East African community can figure out how to go about it. Yeah, I think having such those regional blocks, in as much as they are, that's one of the reasons why we have that such
is,
regional blocks.
That is why I asked to say where you mnatoka wapi kutuambia hivi. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you so much for coming through. That is an interesting conversation. We can talk for another 1 hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my producer has told me the show has to go to the hype is coming up. I think it's 1 year, a long hour coming in. But thank you so much for coming through. Sisule, welcome. I promised you last time that you have to come to Capital FM.
Yes.
And here you are. as always, Butua. And this one, this is Zaike, and he's saying, listen to the new colonialism laws and thank you for the uhamasisho. Somebody's very, because this is new to a lot of people who are listening. They're good, like, hey, wait a minute.
Well, it's not new, but yeah.
It's been there. It's just now. Yeah.
The Brussels effect is there in other sectors.
Yes. Gentlemen, yeah. We have to have this conversation again soon. When things start happening and we go like, wait, we talked about this on Capital FM. So you're coming back, sir.
Itarudi.
Ulazimu Itarudi. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, remember, this happens every Thursday. It's a Legal Insider right here, 90.4 Capital FM, 6:30 to 7:30. This conversation continued 0701984984. Hashtag Legal Insider. Hashtag Quick One, Wakili.